And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 363, with Miss Randy Jane, actually.
Janae. Nice to meet you. Janae. Okay. Yes, it's Janae. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so let's just start off right away. How was your life growing up, actually?
I was born and raised in Iowa. I grew up in a pretty chaotic, dysfunctional household. My parents split when I was 2 and they divorced when I was 4. I'm the youngest of 4 siblings. My dad was a Vietnam vet, and basically the war caused him to become a pretty severe alcoholic, drug addict, and very physically abusive to my mom and my siblings, actually. And he was also in and out of jail a lot, and also had some affairs mixed in here and there. And so, yeah, it was pretty crazy, needless to say. And I don't blame my mom for getting out one bit. She had to, and just to keep us all safe. So I have major respect for what she had to endure and what she went through. And you know, being a single parent is very tough, and she had to do it for a very long time. And because of all of the substance use, of course, that drained a lot of our money. So we were very poor growing up, and trying to get our feet back under ourselves. And he did get clean and sober many years later. He went to AA. And you know, of course, had a couple relapses here and there throughout that time. And even during the times when I would have to go over to my dad's house, there was a split custody agreement. So where my mom got full custody of me, and then I would have to go over to my dad's every other weekend. And when I would go over to his house, there were times when he would actually physically neglect me. So there were times when he would just sleep in until maybe late hours in the morning, early hours in the afternoon. He would sometimes go off and like early in the day, wouldn't come back until later in the evening. And this was before he had a cell phone. My parents are not very technologically inclined. So he actually did not get a cell phone until I was probably about like 13 or 14, really. And so I had no way of contacting him or knowing where he was. And I would basically have to fend myself off of junk food that was in the house, because unfortunately, if what some people don't know is, with one of the side effects from cocaine usage is that you become very addicted to sugar to kind of supplement that usage. And so he ate a lot of sweets all the time. And so I would have to fend myself off of junk food and different kinds of soda pop drinks that he would have in the house, just so that way I wouldn't starve. And he was also very emotionally negligent. I was always extremely terrified of him growing up. And anytime that I'm around him, I would always go into a fight or flight response, more so of a freeze response. And it was very rough. And I can remember, sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a rabbit trail.
That's fine.
But there would be times where I would call my mom just to talk to her, because I missed her. And because I really never liked going to his house whenever I had to. And so there would be times when he would catch me. And so I would have to make sure and call her in secret. And he would just try to guilt trip me a lot, and say things like, "Oh, well, you don't love me. You're going to regret not spending time with me. You're on my time, you know," and stuff like that. And so, you know, stuff like that you should never say to a kid, period. You know? Yeah, of course. And I mean, of course, you know, there was a lot of that stuff to deal with. And sorry, where were we going with this question? Or
so how old were you when that stuff was happening?
So it basically happened a lot of the time when I grew up, and I never really got away from it until I moved out of the house and went to college. So
how old were you when that happened?
Probably about, let's see. I officially moved away from home when I was about, let's see, 20, I want to say like 22, 23-ish, around that time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then, not to mention that, but also there was a lot of corruption on my mom's side too, because she's very manipulative. And unfortunately, from the relationship with my dad, it left her in a cycle of abuse and she never properly healed from it. And so her current husband right now, I'm not going to go into too many details right now, but he is actually a sex offender. And she was a retired social worker. She worked for social work and crisis intervention for a little bit. And one of the people that he perpetrated on was a minor in my family. And he got sentenced to prison for 5 years. And unfortunately, underneath the whatever decision making the psychologist and the counselor had on site thought was best. Let's see. He basically got let out not even a year and a half when he was staying in prison. And yeah, which is pretty crazy. Considering where
judicial system here in this country is pretty great.
Exactly. And that's something that I really think that we need reform on personally. But yeah. And basically when he got out of prison, my mom took him back. And so my husband and I had to cut ties with her just for safety reasons, because unfortunately she has tried to stalk us, and she's been trying to use some tactics to try and bring us back in and bring us into and back into an unsafe situation. So
your mom really knows how to pick them.
That she does. But I mean, unfortunately, like I said, she never properly healed. And so she never got the proper counseling that she needed. And in that way, I do feel for her. But also at the same time, you kind of need to do a little bit of work on it and move on. So yeah, that's kind of my stance on that.
When was the last time you guys spoke? Actually,
it's we officially cut ties probably late 2020, so it's been probably about 3.5 years.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And we actually have a 3.5-year-old son, so even that makes it that much harder to endure, because he's not going to get to know his grandma unless unless she leaves him. And I know he's going to ask questions about like, oh, who are your parents, mommy? You know, why don't we see them as much as we should? And, you know, I know that's part's going to be really hard, but also we got to trust our instincts and really go with our gut that everything is going to work out in itself and that he will thank us for our decision in the future. So, yeah.
So you're someone who's been known for like music, actually.
Yes.
So when you were growing up, when do you think you had that love for music? Because you said you had a really hard life growing up. So I think music was one of the things that probably got you through, I'd imagine.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can remember when I would go over to my dad's house, and basically all I would do is just lock myself in the room that I had over at his place and just listen to the radio all the time. Or like over at my mom's, I would also watch CMT a lot. That was kind of my introduction to music. And I was a massive Shania Twain fan growing up. I always look forward to watching a lot of her videos. And she was actually my entry door into what got me into singing in the first place. And that was probably when I was about 4 or 5 years old. So, yeah, I started very young. And then also we had a piano in our house in the rental that we stayed in with my mom and my siblings. And anytime I would hear a song on the radio or just like a random song someplace, I would always go straight over to the piano and I would play it exactly how I heard it on the recording. And I have perfect pitch, actually. So my parents could definitely tell that I was very gifted in that area. And they would ask me several times if I wanted to take piano lessons. And I never actually did until about when I was in college. And looking back at that now, it's I definitely do regret not taking that chance. But, you know, you can't really foresee what's going to happen in the future until you look back at it. So, that's something that I'm definitely working on a lot now. And started singing a lot basically when I was in elementary school. I've been singing professionally for about 10 years. I'm sorry, this is kind of going on a rabbit trail, but
that's fine.
Yeah. But I was basically self-taught in singing up until I was in about high school. And that's when I started to get vocal lessons from my choir teacher at the time. And then in college, I started to take some years of classical training. And so I know how to sing in different languages and like operatic technique also. So did a little bit of that. I've had pretty much a very eclectic taste in music. My parents would play oldies all the time growing up. There was
mine did too. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There was a lot of oldies, a lot of classic rock, a lot of the stuff that was on the radio from the 90s and the 2000s. Let's see, there was some Southern gospel. One of the churches that I attended was very big into a lot of Southern gospel quartets and stuff like that. So that was kind of how I got my ear into harmonizing also. Let's see, there was also some jazz, some blues, a little bit of classical. So yeah, a little bit of everything, basically.
It's weird. I've been having these musical conversations all day. I had one with Dr. Munzo.
Mm-hmm.
First, I just butchered that.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Mike Barron. Even yourself, which is back when you were younger, to get music was a lot harder, right?
Uh-huh.
Like radios, CD players, cassette tapes, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have it where you could just have a phone, mm-hmm. go on YouTube, copy the link, put it in a website, download whatever song you want, put it on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Spotify, you could have a Spotify account. There's such easier ways of acquiring music. Do you think there is how would I say this? You think there's less enthusiasm around music? Because I don't really feel like music's had that level of impact it used to have back when I was younger. It used to be huge, like new music videos drop, new singles drop. It used to be just the thing. Now it's kind of like people just treat music as if like it's this most disposable thing. Or it's like, it's just music. It's just a song. It's like, I was like, I would kill to have a song. A CD, anything, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's definitely formed or like it's definitely taken on a different sort of evolution as time has gone on. Like right now, I know we're kind of in the playlist generation where people like to discover artists through different playlists now. And vinyl has been making a massive, massive comeback. I actually have a turntable set up here at my house. And that's kind of one of my prized possessions and something that I take very much a lot of pride in. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely just kind of evolved into that spot right now. And, you know, it's going to keep evolving over time. And, you know, things are going to change constantly. And of course, I mean, with the dying out of physical media, you know, I think there's going to be a major resurgence to have those physical copies of music and CDs and like different albums back. So, I mean, with that, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be very interesting.
Because have you had any partnerships in the music industry at all? Or you just all been self-independent for the most time?
So I've mainly been self-independent. The only work that I have out professionally is just a few albums and different EPs that I put out with the old worship band that I was a part of for about 10 years, or not 10 years, but 8 years. So that's the only professional work that's out there that I have. And then other than that, I've just done random recording projects here and there. So yeah, that's mainly been what I've done.
Yeah, it's crazy now how, you know, most people could just do like their music career in their bedrooms, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure you've heard all the horror stories regarding the music industry. And if you're going to go through all of that, well, might as well just take a chance and be independent on your own at that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty sure you've heard about the whole P. Diddy thing recently. Oh, God.
I actually haven't heard about that. No, this is new to me.
Oh, no, God. It's basically a similar situation as, like, the Harvey Weinstein thing. Oh,
okay. Gotcha. You know? Yeah.
It's like, my God, I didn't know things were this... I mean, I knew it. Sometimes you tell yourself it's not happening. It is. Everything you tell yourself is not happening is happening, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
the thing you mentioned earlier is that you said you're married, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I'm married. Okay. For about 6.5 years.
So you've been married since 2018, roughly?
2017. June 10th, okay. 2017.
So, you know how now there's all these, like, mostly relationship problems with all these people now. So, mm-hmm. How did you think you picked the right person, actually?
So, I think with that, it kind of had to take me a bit of experience and a bit of learning to finally get to the place where I found my person. Because with the divorce and with growing up in a very dysfunctional household, I had a lot of daddy issues. And so back when I started dating in high school, I had a lot of unhealthy relationships for the very wrong reasons. And it got me into a lot of trouble. And so in college, I got involved in a very emotionally abusive and controlling relationship. And that was kind of what snapped within me and what kind of broke me and what made me realize that I was going for people that were basically like my parents, which is something that I think we subconsciously do at times. We kind of go for people that remind us of our father or a mother subconsciously. And so that kind of led me to my breaking point. I purposely took a year off of dating after the relationship with that person. And so once I got my head clear and was able to get myself straightened out, then I met my now husband. And the moment that I came across him at first, I knew, well, there was a thought that came into my head that this is my husband, which never happens to me. That's never happened before. And so, the rest is history.
Then, because you said you've been married for roughly about 6 years, 6-7 years.
Yes.
How do you stay married then?
I'm sorry. What was that? I didn't catch
so,
that.
Like, how do you keep the relationship together then? You know, like, you always have ups and downs, right?
Mm-hmm,
so there's every day-to-day is different. Obviously, living with someone is challenging in and of itself. Yeah. Having a kid. Yeah. Obviously, you said your kid is, like, what, 3-4 years old?
Yeah.
Challenging in and of itself, you know? Mm-hmm,
yes.
How do you balance out the day-to-day operations then?
Communication is definitely key. Being in communication with one another, never stop dating one another. Always make sure to keep things fresh, to keep in touch with one another, and to be fully honest and transparent. That's the big keys for me and what's kind of helped us be successful. And just really championing each other in our dreams and our goals and our ambitions and being supportive of one another and seeing each other's potential and what we can truly do if we're able to put our minds to it. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, all these, like, I'm pretty sure you've seen all this divorce stuff happen, you know, all these things get said and a lot of it, from what I've looked into, if you like some of the videos, people just sometimes just grow apart. Like, sometimes it's not even about money or bad relationships. Some people just naturally grow apart. You want just different things as you get older, you know?
Yeah.
That's been a big problem with a lot of people. And it's like, well, that comes with the territory of marrying young, you know? Uh-huh. You marry when you're, like, 18 and you get to, like, your freaking 30. You're probably going to want different things by the time you're 30. It's just how that happens, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely hear that. And my parents were also kind of sort of in that case. They were married for probably about, I don't know exactly how long, but I know it was a, like figuratively about 20 years on average, or just a good guesstimate. And both of them grew up in very religious backgrounds. And my mom's father, unfortunately, was under the impression that even if you go through an abusive relationship, you have to stay married, because sometimes in the Christian community, there are some sectors of denominations, or like some sectors of teachings, that believe that, and I'm not a proponent of this, just a disclaimer, but there are some that believe that if you stay married, it's to an abusive person, it's the equivalent of suffering in the mission field. And that was the mentality that my mom's father had. And he actually died before I was born. And so, she was never able to finally have the courage to get out until I. And so, that was that is something to think about. And sorry, where were we going with this question?
No, because what other things you would think would contribute to like divorces? So is it just money, or just stress? You know, sometimes people could just not click on certain days. You know, so many things. People are weird.
No, I think there's definitely a lot of things, and I think it's more so a lack of commitment. People have a lot of commitment issues, I've noticed. Because I mean, for one thing, my husband and I actually never lived together before we got married. And I think that has served us very well, because it added a new fresh element to where it added a different level of intimacy. So that way we could actually get to know each other in a way that we probably wouldn't have before if we had lived together before then. And so... Yeah. And also, I think with the sex revolution, that also encouraged a lot of promiscuity and different frivolous activity with others. And so that to me has kind of caused the breakdown of the family also, and has sort of evolved into that form.
It's really crazy, because now there's like all these girls doing OnlyFans, and it's like these people that will say, yeah, you do this and do this. And like, I look at that and I look at, well, in about 20, there's always a ticking time bomb on these things. Like about 20 years, you would say most of these girls, not by all of them, a good amount of them are going to be on like TV. They're going to be like documentaries about all these girls and what they went through. Cause I couldn't imagine it's all this gravy train that people are just making it out to be. Like, I just can't. You know, like, this stuff is literally not good. It's one of those, like, man, because there's so many weird people out there. Not even weird, because they're, like, odd. They just can't talk to girls properly, and this is, like, their outlet. I was like, that is not a healthy outlet to talk to women. That is not. You need to go outside and talk to women, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, and I think that's definitely one of the negative parts that has entered into our culture since online dating has become more of a thing. Because, yeah. I mean, let's face it, when I was a teenager, I know my parents were definitely very skeptical about online dating and meeting somebody that you haven't met in real life for safety reasons, of course. And so I think with that, yeah, it's just that definitely hasn't helped out with that culture either. And Like you've said, I mean, the stuff with OnlyFans has just been absolutely insane. And I know there was that one viral video of that one girl in the gym that got kicked out.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That to me is just insane. That's just insane. I mean, it's like, seriously, have some more respect and dignity for yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Because I'll ask you, since I can get a woman's perspective on this stuff. Back when you were in the dating pool, what were things that guys would do that would be like an instant turn off?
Oh gosh. Definitely smoking, because my dad's a heavy smoker. Still. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Any excessive drinking, with, you know, obvious reasons. Because I can probably only drink a little bit. I try to stay very careful on that and not go too overboard to keep that in check. Any smoking, drinking, drugs, obviously, or weed,
Yeah.
If you're not making money, or at least like you're not doing anything to push like, yourself forward to better.
No ambitions would be a turnoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, those are at least like some of the top turnoffs that I can think of.
Yeah, because there's a lot that people do to overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that people do to undercomplicate things. I always tell people this, or any guy, even if you're not attractive, if you have a job, just any job, mm-hmm. just one that pays you consistently somewhat.
Yeah.
Girls will find that attractive because girls like stability. That's what girls mostly like. That's something that I could point out. Girls love stability because like you can't even take care of yourself. Why would any girl kind of want you? That, and people think that's harsh. It's like, it's not. If you want a partner, you can't take care of yourself. She about to pick another guy. That'll do it. Sorry. This is how it works. Exactly. You know?
Yeah, because I don't like, want no scrub.
yeah, because that's the thing is, people gotta, I think the reason a lot of the pool sucks is because no one's harsh anymore, mm-hmm. you know? No one's harsh anymore. People mince their words. They speak in just weird ambiguity because if you start talking about direct specifics, then people think you're like a racist or something. What the fuck? If all we can do is talk in broad generalities, we can't fix anything.
Well, even just with constructive criticism in general, I mean, like, nobody can take constructive criticism anymore. And it's like, even when you're participating in different sports as a kid, it's like everybody's given a participation trophy. And it's there's no room for hard work. There's no room to improve yourself or to receive any feedback that could either positively or negatively affect you. It's insane, man. It's insane.
Because I remember you got retweeted by Dan Vask, actually.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I think that's where I first saw your name pop up in, like, the algorithm for Twitch. Twitter. X, whatever they freaking call it now.
Well, no. Technically it was Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers. He was actually the one that tweeted that. Super chat, and then Dan retweeted that. So yeah, that's kind of how it
worked out. So you've been following Geeks and Gamers for a while, haven't you?
Since probably about September of last year. Yeah.
Okay, so who in that group did you follow first? Was it like Eric or was it Nerdrotic?
It was actually Dan. Dan was actually the one that got me into the whole nerd community. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good Lord, Dan. He can sing. He can.
That he can.
So after you got to Dan, then you went and started watching Jeremy and the other guys, right?
So, how it worked was once I heard him, I basically became very obsessed with his work, and I kind of went down the Dan mm-hmm. rabbit hole. And so I looked into a lot of his videos that he had out, and I was looking for interviews and any podcasts that I could find just to hear him speak. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what led me over to the Geeks and Gamers, Side Scrollers, Nerdrotic podcast. And so just as I started watching them and kind of learning about what they held as their values, I really started to gravitate towards that. Mm-hmm. And technically, that wasn't my first door into the nerdom world. My husband is actually a nerd. One of our first dates or like one of our first hangouts together, he actually showed me a bunch of his Warhammer 40K models, and he brought over like a massive case of them and just kind of started showing me what each of them were. I still to this day have no idea.
Well,
I'm still trying. Yeah. And he's actually looking into getting into the content creator world also pretty soon as a Warhammer 40K content creator. So be on the lookout for that. He hasn't created his socials yet, but he will be doing that very soon. So, yeah.
And so, like, would you consider yourself a casual to most of this stuff before?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I was very much casual.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Okay. What stuff did you hear about in the nerd world before you got wind of everything that happened? So, like, what was, like, the most popular thing you'd hear about? Like, between a movie, a show, or an anime?
Probably definitely a lot of your common Marvel and DC superheroes like Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, okay. like all those people. So
okay.
other than that, I never really looked into it.
Yeah, you thought that was for nerds, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. At least you're being honest. I told people, most average people looked at people just like that. Not the hate, it's that's nerds. I don't want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the thing to be. It's crazy. Now it's the in thing. That's crazy to me, actually.
Yeah, no, and I was actually very sheltered growing up. So my parents really never had any interest in like any of the superhero stuff or like Star Wars or Star Trek or anything sci-fi or fantasy related. So yeah.
So what did you watch as entertainment growing up?
Just a lot of like Nickelodeon, TV Land, a lot of like old classic shows. So yeah, there was a lot of that type of stuff.
So you guys were mostly a TV family, essentially, right?
Pretty much.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh, yeah. There's a whole world you haven't discovered yet. Oh no.
Yeah. I know, I'm in trouble.
So when your husband pulled you into more of like nerd stuff, what was the stuff you yourself naturally gravitated to?
Well, he did show me the original Star Wars trilogy. So I watched those probably at least about a few times with him, and I did gravitate towards those. I really liked them. And then I watched the prequels on my own, and wasn't really able to get into the first one, but I got into the second one, and then the third one actually just took me off guard completely, and I was not expecting what happened to Anakin. Like, I was just, I can remember watching that for the first time, and I was like, what is this? This is horrible.
Yeah, he literally was like, fuck them kids, I'm killing them. Oh, like, it's like, only way, I gotta kill them. I was like, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, it was insane. And then, like, around the time we started, I think it was when we were engaged already. We started dating in 2014, and then we got engaged of May of 2015. And I think that was around the time when, or maybe it might have been before that, but when The Force Awakens came out. And we went to go see that in theaters. And that, of course, really intrigued me. And then The Last Jedi came out, and we went to go see that in the IMAX theater. And when I saw that, I honestly really did not know what to think of it. To me, it was a very crappy Star Wars movie, and just even as a newbie, learning about all the stuff, and I was like, what is this? Like, this isn't supposed to happen, and I wasn't expecting what happened to Rey's storyline, where she basically came from nothing, because, I mean, it's like, You don't do that with the Star Wars movie, to me personally. I mean, especially thinking back over to, let's see, I think it's the Empire Strikes Back with the whole reveal with Darth Vader mm-hmm. being Luke's father, and just thinking back to that, and then comparing that to The Last Jedi, it was crap. It was crap, you guys. And so then, you know, my husband kind of went through his little dark hole of depression when the very last movie in the new trilogy came out. And I can remember just him going absolutely nuts over it. So, yeah, it was pretty nuts.
My journey with Star Wars was the same. I never cared for it growing up. My mm-hmm. first ever Star Wars movie that I ever watched was I got a free ticket to watch The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And we watched it, and I was like, I don't know what people are hyped about. This is terrible. And then kind of find out there was seven movies before that. And then I learned the history of the franchise. We did a project for Star Wars back in 2021 where I watched the original trilogies of the prequels to the new stuff to make sure I had it in order in my brain. And I was like, damn, this is garbage. I'll be honest here. I don't know why people still watch the shows. We know they're not going to be good. I stopped watching the shows after like Obi-Wan. Like, why would I watch? I watched Obi-Wan and Boba Fett, and I was like, this is bad.
Yeah, no, my husband hasn't even touched anything since the Solo movie. Just because he was that disappointed about how the franchise just tanked and how much it killed a lot of his childhood from growing up. So, yeah, I mean, the only thing that we really watched was the Mandalorian, and then we kind of stopped watching it after Gina Carano basically got removed from the show. So that was basically our ending point there.
And what else has your husband got you into?
Just basically into like all the Star Wars stuff. Maybe a little bit of the kind of DC world. I've kind of gotten into Batman a little bit more. I watched he showed me the animated series from the 90s, and so like I really got into that. Very good. Let's see. I think we did watch Wonder Woman, the first one that came out. That was really good. I liked that one. Wasn't really a big fan of the Wonder Woman 1984 movie, but
I'm not a fan of like women just raping guys. Yeah, first, I'm not going to be a fan of that. I can't. You know how like the drop off from the first one to the second one is so massive? You're just like, how did this happen?
Well, and also, like, I can't remember who the villain was, but they were making it obvious that he was supposed to, you know, figuratively be Trump, in essence, and that, you don't do that. That's just crap. That's crap.
Yeah, and so looking at how the landscape of the entertainment sphere is, I mean, they're making a lot of changes. And, you know, like, think, because I'm pretty sure you've never been into, like, gaming either, but I'm pretty sure you've seen, like, people talk about, like, Sweet Baby Inc. and all the other stuff that's happened too. It's pretty bad. It's, like, yeah. I have no clue why people want to infest these spaces and start pushing narratives that never existed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for someone like yourself, you said your husband kind of really got you into watching most of this stuff. I'm pretty sure he never told you can't like or be a part of the stuff. You just didn't watch it because you just didn't find it that interesting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, it's definitely a community that's open to everybody, you know, and I believe that the more that people find out about it, the more that people will want to discover more information about it. And just with everything that's been going on, I think that's become even more of an incentive to learn about this whole community and everything. And so unfortunately, as much as it's drawing a lot of negative press, it is a good thing, because I think it will be a catalyst for how we move forward in the future, and how we can reach out to even more normies to kind of pull them into.
You also are a YouTuber, right?
Yes, I am. So I technically actually started my YouTube journey back in 2011. After I graduated high school, I was basically trying to make a lot of cover videos, because that's how a lot of people were getting discovered at the time, like the new lead singer of Journey and like Justin Bieber and all that. And so I figured, you know, like that was kind of the thing to do back then. And so I did that consistently for about 2 years, until about like 2013 or 2014, just trying to get some exposure and get discovered by record labels. One of them, the videos that I put out, did actually get the attention from one label in Nashville, and they had contacted me about coming over and recording some demos and possibly signing a development deal. And when I had received that deal, it did make me realize the hard truth that I was not ready for that kind of opportunity yet. And just because I had to still find my own sound, and I wasn't quite where I should be vocally at the time, because I was imitating a lot of other artists, and I still had a lot of work to do on my voice. So I never took it. And looking back at that, I really don't regret it, because then after that, I started to do a lot of self-reflection and a lot of soul-searching, because I was going through a lot of stuff, recovering from the divorce and trying to fill the void that my biological father never did. And so trying to find that. And then I really got closer to God at the time. And so that was kind of when I felt kind of shift gears and move over to the music ministry field. And so from then on, I kind of had a hiatus point for a little bit, did music ministry for about 8 years, from late 2014 to about early 2022. And then there was just a point where I felt convicted to stop and to kind of move on over to secular music. And I wasn't quite sure what that was going to be. I figured it would probably be with doing session singing from my house and putting together my studio and getting all of that lined up. And then all the stuff with, it got to 2023 where Oliver Anthony first actually came out and made his big massive blow up and then kind of learned more about his story. And then that was also around the time when I discovered Dan and his stuff. And when both of those guys were really explaining how much, creating their YouTubes really got them onto their platforms and really helped them take off. It kind of clicked with me that if I wanted to promote myself for session work, it would probably be best to start making cover videos again and putting myself out there for my work. And so then in September of 2023, I started to put together my social pages. And I've been making short videos for the time being until my studio is fully furnished. It's getting up to get like a few more things done. And so I've been doing that and trying to promote my page until things are able to get launched officially. And so I'm hoping to get back on probably within the next month or so. I'm not going to give an exact date, but it's definitely going to be sometime this spring. So, yeah.
That's the thing is, doing YouTube is, it's a journey. Let's just say that.
It is. It is. God. It is very much so.
I think a lot of people don't actually understand the full scope of it until you actually do it. It's one of those things you do where unless you actually do it, you just won't know how much it takes to be successful at it. You know, a lot of people think they'll just put out one video and they'll just become an overnight sensation. And it's like, that's just not how that works. The chance of that happening is very low, let's just say.
Yeah. Well, and back when I even started, I mean, of course, back then it was very unknown that you could actually make a living off of YouTube. And that wasn't really brought to the public knowledge until about the late 2010s, like around 2016 or 2017. And then when I started to look at it, it was like, I could actually make a possibility with this to make this a living, you know, and to really try to get the gears going to get this thing to take off. Because, I mean, like I've said, I've done this professionally for about 10 years. And knowing that I have been paid for my work in the past, I know that I can really be successful and I can make something out of it. So yeah.
Another thing you mentioned throughout the show is that you are a Christian, actually.
Yes.
So do you go to church every Sunday?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you, represent your faith on a given day, actually?
I think it comes out naturally just with how I live my life and the different values that I hold personally. I'm very pro-liberty. I'm very pro-freedom. And I support a lot of traditional values. And I think growing up with older parents and also in a very rural community, that has definitely instilled those in me. Growing up, and I've maintained those throughout a lot of my life. So I think, just living out those principles any way you can, and just looking for opportunities to, share that. So,
what do you think is something that a lot of Christians struggle with, from your point of view?
Oh goodness, that's a loaded question. Something
that's what I'm good at.
Yeah, no, you're good. Let's see. I think a lot of Christians struggle with is probably the maybe some of the legalistic sides of maybe some certain denominations and kind of getting out of that. Because, I mean, and in all reality, I mean, yes, there are some bad apples out there. And, of course, you got to separate the bad from the good. But Yeah, I think it's just kind of getting out of that mindset that it's not necessarily all that restrictive as what people think it is. And I think the more that people look into it and study it, it becomes very clear that it's more liberating than it is restricting. And so, yeah, that's all I got. So,
What do you think are things that the country could improve on? Because you said you're pro-freedom, actually. So I'd imagine you lean more on like the conservative right side, probably.
I wouldn't necessarily call myself a conservative because, you know, the Conservative Party has definitely shown a lot of its bad side lately.
A lot of hypocrisy lately. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I would definitely consider myself more of a patriot, maybe more of like a sort of like a patriot libertarian. I don't know, whatever you would call it. But sorry. What was the question again? I kind of got lost in thought.
Are you fine? Is because there's a lot of things happening in the country now. I mean, today they are passing some sort of bill to ban TikTok, you know, which is crazy because if they can do that for TikTok, I mean, all their social media sites are going to be on the chopping block, which is crazy, right? There's problems with like taxes. I mean, there's problems with like Social Security thing. I know Ben Shapiro brought up that whole controversy thing he had started about people should work until they die or something like that.
Yeah, that's just nuts. Yeah, I'm very much a capitalist. I'm very much pro little to no government. You know, I'm very pro liberty. I'm very pro free speech and freedom of expression. And so, those are some of the core values that I hold.
Yeah, because like I think what really hurts people now is when people say homelessness is really bad. Like, I don't understand why people would want to be homeless at all. I thought it's being like a drug addict. Like crime is bad. It's like there's a lot of things that need to get better here. Let's just say, you know, because you said you're from Iowa. I'm in California, so
you guys have it very rough.
I don't know if you're still in Iowa. Is that more like a country state, or is more
I was very much a farm state. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been around like cows and chickens and all that stuff. Would you ever have your own farm, actually?
I mean, at some point I would like to live out in the country one day, just because I grew up in the country. And so I really do like living out in the woods and, you know, having a bunch of trees and different scenery in my heart. So.
And now since you've been a mom for a little bit of time, do you enjoy it? I'm pretty sure you do. Isn't it pretty challenging and hard for the most part, but you like the end result of, you know, raising a kid, actually?
I mean, when I first realized that I was going to become a mom, I never thought it was going to be anything that I ever wanted. I mean, I knew I wanted kids, but then when it's actually happening to you, you really don't know what to expect. You don't know how to take it in. And so, then from the moment when he got here, it was just very clear that, you know, he needed to be in our family. And so, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you had cut out on that last part. What was the last part you said?
How much of that did you catch?
Because you said when he was here, you realized you need to keep him. Obviously, he was the number one priority in your life. Because a lot of people don't actually understand. Kids take a lot of work. I used to work and help in a daycare. Yeah, they're like little bundles of joy and a lot of energy. Let's just say that they don't run out of that.
No, they don't. Definitely. I mean, I can say that we definitely, and I know a lot of parents don't have this, so we are extremely fortunate, but we seriously have the best kid. He's so good natured. He's very mild tempered. He doesn't really act out. He's an absolute dream. And so I know a lot of parents aren't fortunate enough to have that. And so we take that very seriously, and we do not take that lightly at all whatsoever. So yeah,
he's been the great. Other thing I'll ask is, you know, since you're a little bit older now, there's probably I know I have some sort of female audience here at some point. I put the shows out on like Spotify and places they say have a female audience. What would you say to them as far as like life advice for growing up?
Oh man, my goodness. Don't grow up too fast. Don't grow up too fast because, and don't try to set a timeline for yourself. Cause I know I fell victim to that and trying to plan out my life, in like certain increments that like that were going to happen at certain ages. And, when I became, very disappointed when those things didn't happen, it kind of left me in a very black hole of depression and where I even started to become suicidal. And so, yeah, just keeping that mindset that nothing's going to happen like you expect, but that things will work out in the end and they'll be okay. So,
yeah, that's crazy that you brought that up. It's like, there's people that, you know, what would really like drive someone to do that? You know, to have those kind of thoughts has always been perplexing to me. But, you know, I think what really boils it down to is, like, when you have enough things that have happened in your life and you're at the point where you're just like, F it, anything goes in your mind. When you're at that low point, anything goes, honestly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, and I think definitely in my mid-20s, I had a very specific goal of what I was going to do career-wise. And when that didn't necessarily happen, it kind of drove me into a season that I like to call my mid-20s crisis. And so like you have midlife crisis and then you have you know, other moments like that that happen. And so yeah, that happened. And then sorry, where were we going with the question?
Sorry. Oh, advice towards younger women. And then we had the part where you're talking about how like depression could really just knock the wind out of someone and make them feel certain things and a biological clock where it's like, you know, you get to a point where if these things didn't happen, then you're just like, well, I guess it's over then. I guess I hit the wall.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, when I basically got to that point, I had to give everything over to God and just really turn to my faith and lean on that. Especially just coming from the background that I did. And yeah, I really had to lean into that. And also what I had to do, which was extremely crucial, was separate myself, not just physically, but from an emotional standpoint from my family, which was when I cut ties with them. And especially as I became pregnant, I suffered perinatal and postpartum depression. I went through those also. And
life just puts you through the ringer for some reason.
Yeah. No, it's been crazy, but I'm still here. So
you're like, I came out on the other side.
I did. And, but no, when I was pregnant, the closer that it got to the time where my son was going to be here, it made me have a lot of self-reflection about how I grew up and, what I necessarily didn't have that I wish I had had, from my parents growing up. And it made me think of how I did not want to be like them. I did not want to have him go through that same experience that I did and have him go through all of that hurt and that pain. And when it got me to really thinking about it, it took me through a massive grieving process, one that I never thought that I would have to experience, because before then I thought that I had done work on it. To try and heal from all that stuff, but I never really did the hard work that was necessary. And so, yeah, it took a lot of grieving, a lot of processing. I had to kill a lot of fantasies that I had built up in my head about what I could or figuratively gain back from my parents that I had never gotten. And so once I had finally moved on from that, that was kind of when the chapter all closed and when I was finally able to get out of my depression. I did have to take an antidepressant for just a little bit when I was postpartum, only for a little bit. And I went through a lot of panic attacks where I would basically lie down on the floor and I would shake uncontrollably, and it was really bad. It was really bad. And so,
did you go to like a therapist?
Yes, I did go to therapy.
God, well, did you find it useful, actually?
Yes, it did give me a lot of tools to keep in my toolbox for whenever maybe I'm having a flashback or something triggers me just randomly. Mm-hmm. And then I have to, sometimes I even try to ground myself and kind of place myself back into reality when I know I'm having a very severe reaction. And that's been helpful. Something that's also been helpful is to use tactics to incorporate the five different senses that you have. So something for touch, sight, taste, smell, and sorry, I'm blanking on the other one. Crab monkeys.
So taste, smell, sight, I think?
Maybe something like that. But yeah, basically with all the five senses, and that that's definitely helped out a lot too. So yeah, just using those different types of tactics.
Yeah, I always tell people, hey, if you have various issues, talking to a therapist might not be the worst thing, you know?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. That's all. No, I was just agreeing.
Yeah. And definitely like a lot of talk therapy with my husband has been very therapeutic as well. So there were many long nights with conversations that we had to go through to hash out a lot of different situations. So, yeah.
I think it's just when people talk to like close friends and family, then not saying they wouldn't get it, but they just won't understand. And if you just tell things, I don't know. So when somebody's alluring about just telling things to a stranger and knowing there's no like extra added baggage there, just like the other added part to it. Because like women will go get their hair done and they'll tell everything to like their hairdresser, but these things will never get mentioned to like husband, mother, anything. It's just odd. Women are an odd bunch. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And surprisingly, that does kind of make it hard to have friends in that aspect. I mean, I've definitely gotten better at that, but with my background from growing up, it does kind of some of these situations a lot, and because you don't really know how people are going to receive it, you don't know whether people are going to overreact to you or whether you're just overreacting or overanalyzing, and like you don't necessarily know if people are going to stick around for all of your shit, basically. In that aspect, I mean, you do kind of have to overcome that in a way, or at least it does take time to work out of, to open yourself up and to like let people in that genuinely want to be a part of your life. So yeah,
I think that's the thing, is growing up, people need to realize it's not everyone is going to be a part of your life nor care to be a part of your life, you know. Some people are just there to be temporary beings to get you to a next stage in your life, like a Pokemon evolution, you know. They're there to get you to your next evolution.
No, the people that really want to be there will be there. They'll stick around, and you'll know.
That's why I haven't had a dad.
Yeah.
I still had a mom. As you guys know, CNN, black guy meme, that's me. I don't have a dad. He's, I don't know what happened. I have no clue. Well, given how most of the world is sucking for the most part, I just generally hope things get better. Turns out we might have another presidential rematch of Biden and Trump. I mean, hopefully Trump wins. Hopefully they're not going to rig it this time. Because if anyone thinks the last one wasn't rigged, you are a crackhead. You are legitimately a bot that CNN has been telling lies to, actually. Listen to way too much Don Lemon. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think definitely the Trump era definitely brought out a lot of corruption to light from the government. So, hopefully we can move forward and things can change in the future. So fingers crossed.
And the last few things I'll ask you. The first thing is, any big plans for yourself and potentially your YouTube channel coming up later on this year?
I'm gonna be doing a collab at some point with Lady Desiree, who's also a big streamer on Kick. Fantastic piano player, shout out to her. That's gonna come out sometime in the future. I'm not gonna give a date on that specifically because we don't have that planned out yet, but that is in the works, and working on the channel. And also I just made this announcement today, but I now have a locals page. So if any of you guys want to support me, you can go and check me out in there also. So that's also in the works. And other than that, working on the channel and doing my thing.
Last thing is, any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular, and anything else you want to say before we head out?
Let's see. Real quick, you can also find me on my socials, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on there. You can obviously find me on YouTube, and you can also there's also a virtual tip jar on PayPal. You can find me on there also.
Mm-hmm. And it was great to have you on for the first time. Hopefully, we do this again in the future when, come back in 3 years and you're like, all right, here's all my other stories. And I'm like, all right, so sip at the bar and just drink, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's what it usually is whenever people have second appearances. They're like, hey, Dad, I got a lot of stories to tell you. I know, first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was fun. This was blessed.
Yeah. So thank you guys for watching. If you were able to catch the show live, thank you for coming on for the first time. And we'll see you guys later. Goodbye, everyone.